Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, we got some summertime blues going on here, don't we? I'm Scoot. It's Tuesday afternoon. Glad you're with us. Another day where it's hot as hell. Tuesday, July 14th, 2020. Pandemic continues, and so does a lot of other stuff. We're here to talk about a lot of it. Vice President Mike Pence is in Louisiana visiting Governor John Bel Edwards in Baton Rouge today. They will hold a press conference, and we're going to bring that to you live. That is scheduled for 3 o'clock. Governor John Bel Edwards, Vice President Mike Pence, we're going to carry that live here on WWL, expected to start about 3 o'clock. If there is time afterwards, we will be here to talk about what the governor and what the vice president and others had to say. There is no question, even though there are many people in denial, there's no question that the coronavirus is ramping up. There seems little doubt that wearing a mask will help, that social distancing will help. And yet some people still don't seem to give a damn. And the state of Florida had a record, I think it was a record, a number of deaths yesterday. And the record number of deaths, yesterday, number of deaths in one day, 132. I'm not sure it was a record, but 132 deaths in one day. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is getting blasted, and rightfully so. You know, he was quick to open up. He was defiant about opening up. He opened up, and now more people are dying in his state. I hope he's proud of that decision. It was arrogance on his part, and he has no answer for it. He's calling this whole thing right now, all these dead people and all these new cases, he's calling this a blip. When you look at America and the state of Florida over a 10-year period, maybe you could call this a blip. But this ain't no blip in terms of what's going on right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how he tries to crawfish his way out of this. So the vice president is in town. This is kind of sad news. Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry will not be joining Governor John Bel Edwards in welcoming Vice President Mike Pence. And Jeff Landry and Mike Pence are the same Republican Party, so I'm sure he would love to be there. But according to an article in the Times-Picayune New Orleans Advocate, Landry posted in a mass email that he has tested positive for the coronavirus. So he's self-quarantining, even though he's asymptomatic. And I guess this is the scary thing. I mean, this is a reality here. And I hope things work out great for Jeff Landry. I hope nothing comes up. But he could easily have spread this to the vice president. And he was tested, apparently, because he was going to be with the vice president. So that's why he got the test. And then the vice president could have spread it to the president. So, again, you know, you can deny all this. You can think it's fake if you want to, but it's not. It's affecting people. Ask Jeff Landry if he thinks it's fake. Also, there has been an upward trend in coronavirus spread here. In the state of Louisiana. Today, there's a report of more than 2,200 additional positive tests for COVID-19. Coronavirus hospitalizations in the state went up another 54, and there were 19 deaths. I'm sorry, there were 22 deaths. 22 deaths of COVID-19. Now, for people who say, well, you know, some of these statistics are over a several-day period. That's true. But we still get one-day totals. Each day is a collection of cases that are coming up for that particular day. So it's still fair to say that a record number of cases take place when that really does happen. But I don't see how we can go on today without talking at least a little while about the triple shooting in the 7th Ward yesterday. A girl about 15 or 16, a boy 13, were shot. A 9-year-old boy was shot and killed. And I just don't think it would be responsible for us to go on and not address this. NOPD Chief Sean Ferguson said that the community has to really take a look at themselves.
We, as a society, are talking about social justice versus social injustice. We as a community need to take a look at ourselves and what is it that we are doing, what is it that we are accepting as a norm that should not be accepted as a norm with this black-on-black violence.
Chief Ferguson is 100% right. I just posted a video on the WWL Radio Facebook page. It's also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, where I asked this question. Isn't it time for us to say that all black lives matter? All of them. Whether it's a suspect who dies at the hands of a white police officer, or whether it's three young people shot in New Orleans yesterday. All black lives matter, not just the ones that get the most attention in the news. Chief Ferguson, frustrated that they don't know who did this. They don't have any suspects, as far as I know, at this point. Chief Ferguson, put the burden on the community.
So I'm begging you, I'm pleading you, with you, the community, to come forward any information that you may have.
What Chief Ferguson is saying is do not abide by the don't snitch rule in the community. He's talking to those of you who may abide by that. He's telling you it's time to snitch. And I don't know why you have to let anybody know. You can report this to Crime Stoppers anonymously. Now, if you get the $5,000 reward, and I think that's the latest right now, $5,000 reward for information leading to an arrest. If you get the $5,000 reward, don't go out and buy a jet ski and put it in your front yard. Don't all of a sudden show up with, you know, something worth $5,000 or whatever. Don't just suddenly show up with, like, nice stuff. But there's a way for you to report these things. And you can talk about the anti-snitch mentality all you want. But the police chief is telling you to please come. He's begging you to come forward with information. And police are looking for the suspects in a white Jeep with a black top and black rims. Does anybody have any idea what the motivation might be? I mean, a Jeep pulls up and a teenage girl and a teenage boy are shot and a 9-year-old boy is shot and killed. What could the possible motive be? Because you may know more about that neighborhood than I do. You may know more about what goes on in these situations than I do. So I'm asking you to help me and help all of us understand this. What could be the possible motive behind this? Could it be drugs? Could it be gang initiation? Whatever it is, we need to know and we need to talk about it. Mayor Cantrell also pleaded with the public to come forward and give information that they may be reluctant to give.
We know that people were out and about in this neighborhood during the time of the incident.
The mayor is telling you, don't respect anti-snitch. She's not putting it in those exact words, but that's what she's saying. If people don't come forward, and I'm amazed at the people that get shot, and they're lying in the freaking hospital, and they won't give information about who freaking shot them. Well, if there's somebody out there that shot you once, who's to say they're not going to shoot you again? Look, I know it might be difficult for somebody to think, well, it's easy for me to say this. It might be easy for you to think, well, I can say this because I don't live in the neighborhood. I admit I don't live in that neighborhood. But I will tell you this, that the only way this is going to stop is if the community stops harboring the criminals that are killing them. And I really think it's time. Look, I'm all for Black Lives Matter. But I think it's time for this country and all those who are protesting to start promoting the idea that all Black Lives Matter, not just the George Floyds that get a lot of attention in the media, but this 9-year-old boy who was shot and killed, and this teenage girl and teenage boy that was shot that could have been killed. I mean, this could have been easily a triple homicide. Fortunately, it wasn't. But there's still a 9-year-old boy dead. If you want to join us with your comment this afternoon, I'd love to hear from you. Our number, if you want to call the show or text the show, is 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. And is it okay for us to now say that all Black lives matter, and not just the ones that get a lot of attention on the news? I'm Scoot. It's a hot Tuesday afternoon, and we'll be right back on WWL. For those who have sent in text messages, for the snowflakes that have sent in text messages, let me just explain to you what I'm saying. I'm saying that it's time to really recognize that all Black lives matter, and not just the ones that lead to a lot of publicity on TV and in the media. What I'm not saying is that white lives don't matter. I didn't say that. I'm a white guy. My life matters too. If you're Hispanic, if you're Asian, if you're Muslim, Christian, or Jew, or Black, or white, your life matters. All life matters. But in the context of so much attention being paid, when it's a high-profile case, and in the midst of this racial tension in America, there's a triple shooting, and 3 young people are shot, and a 9-year-old boy is killed yesterday in our city. It's time to put pressure on those who are outraged by all of the cases that get a lot of publicity, that all Black lives matter. Now, don't be so sensitive to think that that means that white lives don't matter, because I didn't say that. I've never said that on this show. I'm not going to say that on this show. So really, let's just stop being so sensitive and try to realize what's really being talked about here. If you want to join us with a comment, call us or text us at 504-260-1870. From San Francisco, David, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Oh, hi, Scoot. Long time no talk.
Hey, you know, I appreciate you calling, David.
You mentioned the gang initiation back there. I used to live in Denver, and man, there was a Nazi Klan group out there that was killing people, and gang initiation was what it was all about. You could put a notch in your gun, and then you'd be elevated in that Nazi Klan gang. And they actually had a dirty cop that would always drop the charges on them. I think he was a lieutenant. This was about 1989. And that was pretty interesting. So when I hear about all of the deaths that are happening with COVID, I got to wonder, you know, whether or not Trump and his, you know, gang of creeps are actually trying to get key people killed so he can steal their land. Because if you remember, in the history of getting land cheap, you get it when they have high medical bills. And people have got to sell the family house, or they got to sell, you know, whatever they've got to pay off medical bills. And so this is land grab time for the real estate developer Trump clan.
Well, I honestly think that's a bit of a conspiracy theory, and I don't think that is what's going on at all. David, how are things in San Francisco? Well, go ahead.
You got Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, who is called the King of Foreclosures. And 12 years ago, with the subprime scandal, his company ended up with the most amount of deeds. of 40 million houses that were stolen in the subprime scandal, Mnuchin's company got the most of them. Then you got Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, who's called the king of bankruptcies. And he's famous for 50 years, more than 50 years. He's gone out of his way to force companies into economic crash, and then he buys them up and parts out the companies. And then you got Betsy DeVos, who's famous in Louisiana for getting the school districts, the parish school districts in Louisiana, eastern yeah. Louisiana. So you got four people in the Trump administration who are famous for, and Trump himself got he would get land declared as blighted, and then he got all of his Trump towers as blighted land redevelopment. So he they've been doing this for decades.
But David,
I simply
don't believe. I mean, I'm not denying that there's a predator mentality that a lot of people have, and you're in the Trump administration. But I just don't believe that this is orchestrated as a land grab. Now, if opportunity arises as a result of this, might they take advantage of the situation? I wouldn't doubt it, but I don't think this was orchestrated as a land grab. So let me ask you about San Francisco. California is having some problems as well with people ignoring the things that you're supposed to do to stop the spread. How are things in San Francisco?
Well, actually, San Francisco itself is in, I won't say excellent shape, but we're in comparison. We've only lost 50 people, and there's a moment of silence for those 50. But the 50 people that we lost are because we hunkered down in early February. I work at the convention center, and we got a convention at the end of January, early February, that it was discovered that one of the participants had COVID. So the mayor, in a conservative method, she shut down the convention center. She refused to rent out the hall. The city owns the convention center. She refused to rent the hall until the epidemic is over. I got a memo that says that we're not expected to go back to work at the convention center till November. In November, yet coming, right? So don't even, you know, so the next convention that was coming up was Facebook. We were going to load in Facebook. People from all over the world were going to come to the Facebook convention in San Francisco into an infected room, and then what was going to happen when they headed home. And then immediately after that, a video games conference that would have brought in video games people from all around the world to catch a disease and then take it home. So we realized right away, February 5th is when the convention center was shut down. The city itself didn't officially do self-quarantining until, you know, a few weeks later. But the, you know, New York City didn't even shut down for another 6 weeks. So we shut down instantly, and we've only had 50 people die. Across the Oakland and Alameda County is almost twice as bad as us. But when you start heading south, L.A. is, what, 3,800 people. Orange County, Disneyland is 500, I think. Orange County and then Riverside County is 500. You've got Fresno is climbing fast. Is that McCarthy's? It's Devin Nunez's. That's a red county. Orange County is a red county. Riverside's a red county. Kern County is a red county. That's Kevin McCarthy. All of these deniers are getting this hell of a spike, you know, 500 deaths. They're 10 times worse than San Francisco.
I find interesting that so many people are having to face a reality that they were denying, and it's a harsh reality, and we see that really all over. David, I appreciate you streaming the show from San Francisco. Good. Stay safe. Have a good day. Let's go to the North Shore. And Henry, you're on WWL.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm good.
That possibly could have been a hit on that family. You never know. But anything is possible. I listened at your last call. All things are possible. But I don't look at this as black on black crime. This is thug, hoodlum, low-life human beings that committing these crimes. And if the community wants the crimes to stop, They're going to have to come together and unite as one. Not one or two people. They're going to have to come together and unite to stop all this. If they don't come together and unite, this killing is going to continue on.
Well, Henry, unfortunately, you're right. I appreciate the call. And Chief Ferguson was just really animate about the community. He's begging the community to come forward. Mayor Cantrell says we know people were out when this shooting took place yesterday. And as much as we could talk about on the show this afternoon, I just think it would be disrespectful to not talk about that triple shooting yesterday that took the life of a 9-year-old boy. And a teenage girl and a teenage boy could have been killed as well. They were shot. They could have been killed. So if you have a sense of what this might be, I'd love to hear from you. What could the motive possibly be? You've got three kids that are just being outside playing and they've been shot. And a 9-year-old boy dead. What could the possible motive be? Could it have been a hit against the family? Could somebody in the family have violated drug territory? Whatever the reason, the excuse is not good enough. From Metairie, Mike, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Scoot. Enjoyed the opening monologue. Just before other people call in and this conversation about, a black-on-black crime came up and show yesterday, Newell's show, and just real quickly, for those who say, you know, when you're talking about certain language like Black Lives Matter movement specifically is to protest against what they call state-sanctioned violence, police violence. It's ridiculous to connotate that to, well, they don't care about black-on-black crime. That's like saying the mad women, the mothers against drunk driving, don't care about teen suicide or a domestic abuse. It's not what they're specifically fighting for. It's not specifically what their mission statement of that specific organization is about. So before they start talking about, well, Black Lives Matter doesn't care about black-on-black crime, it's not what they're about. So that's a ridiculous argument. But I will say this. Your comment about what the media protests. For example, we all heard about the violence in Chicago over the 4th of July weekend. On July 2nd in Chicago, they had a march to specifically promote nonviolence in their black communities. That didn't make the TV. That wasn't on Facebook. But what we saw was the aftermath. There's marches twice a year in Chicago for anti-violence. We don't hear about it.
Yeah.
We don't talk enough about what
no,
we
it
have
doesn't get attention.
It doesn't get – so my point is for the white people who are listening – please don't come with that silly argument that, well, yeah, I see what I'm saying. The Black Lives Matter doesn't care about black people. It's not what the organization is about. It doesn't mean they don't care. It doesn't mean they don't care. But my question to them is how come what are you looking for? And you said this many a times before. Don't always blame the media because the media puts out what you want to buy. So if you're not interested in hearing the part about black communities going out against violence in their own communities, they're not going to put it on TV. So it's not just the media fault. It's about what you want to see. And, it's both of us. When you're dealing with 14% of the population, you can't rely on just that population to be able to make significant change in their own population. You need all of us. You need the other percentage of the entire of the country to get on board to make the political, the financial changes, all the stuff that needs to happen when it happens. So it's not just on them. It's on all of us. And when we ignore...
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that.
And when we specifically ignore what's going on in one community, then nothing is going to happen. All I'm saying is that I agree with what you said, which is, to me, it's also when you're saying, that the media doesn't put it out there, it's also on us because we're not looking for it. Because if you want to find black communities going out there fighting against violence, it's out there. It's just we don't want to see it.
Once in a while, it happens in New Orleans, but not often enough. And it seems like the enough is enough rallies and protests are so minimal. and they don't really lead anywhere. But I agree with your assessment of what spawned the existence of Black Lives Matter, and it is different. But I just think it's time for there to be even more outrage over this idea that and of course, people do believe that all Black Lives Matter. But I think sometimes we have to just be that blatant and say it to ourselves. Mike, I appreciate your call. And if you want to join us with a comment, our phone number, our text line, both the same, 504-260-1870. And I found this so disturbing to see this on the news yesterday. And this happened at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. These kids are just outside playing on a hot summer day. Why? What could the motive possibly be? And I do understand that there could be, if there was a protest, if blacks were protesting black-on-black crime in Chicago, that's not going to get the attention as a protest when it's white versus black. I don't make up the rules, but that's a rule. It's a rule that America has established. Not me, not just the media. It is a rule that America has established because of the scars of our past. It's not fair, but it is a reality. So let's recognize that maybe leaders within certain communities need to make so much noise that they are heard. And again, you don't hear from some of those who benefit from racial injustice. There are people gaining power and gaining money because of racial injustice. It only benefits some people to come forward when it's white versus black. And they acknowledge black versus black or black on black crime. They acknowledge that. But they don't stand up for a black victim like they do if it's at the hands of a white person. So it seems to me that that's what needs to be said. That all black lives matter. If you want to join us, our number and our text line, 504-260-1870. So there were power outages in Kenner today. A lot of people were out of power in Kenner. Parts of Jefferson Parish and also uptown the other day, there was a power outage. Apparently, it's because of the burden on the air conditioning, because of the intense heat. So I thought we would dedicate this song to our air conditioners. And we're going to talk more about this coming up in the next hour, but this is dedicated to our air conditionings. Come on, we gotta find humor in all this too. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back. This is WWL. We have a problem in New Orleans and a problem across America. It broke my heart yesterday to hear on the news that there was a triple shooting. I mean, I'm sad when anybody dies. But three young people, a 9-year-old boy shot and was killed. Here is a text that says, Channel 4 reported that the dad of the 9-year-old boy who was going to turn 10 July 31st, that was the dad that they interviewed a few months ago whose son was 13 and breaking into cars. So it's probably gang related. The son caught breaking into cars was with much older men breaking into cars. Well, then if that's the problem, then let's define that and let's admit it and let's recognize it. I don't know how random this shooting was. But the idea that three young people are shot and a 9-year-old is killed when a car pulls up and somebody gets out and shoots them, I have a lot of questions about that. From Kansas City, Ryan, you're on WWL. Good afternoon. Hello, Ryan. Brian. I'm sorry, Brian from Kansas City. You're on WWL, Brian. Okay. All right, let's go to Dr. Nick and Amy. Dr. Nick, welcome to the show.
Scoot, how you doing?
Take an example
personal.
You know, if I were talking about, I'd be better if I was talking about something else, honestly.
No, you got two good topics today, but on coronavirus, okay? It was a physician. Okay, this thing started out, and it was a problem. And to take up for some of the governors and John Bell there, but, you know, we flattened the curve initially. But medically, what you don't hear, and you can't believe everything you hear, okay? It's a virus. And, you know, a lot of people aren't doing what they're supposed to do. But the mask is not going to do miracles anyway. You can go to Walmart here and AME, and within 20 minutes, 80% of your people have already contaminated the mask. And we all need to wear a mask. It will help. But this thing is going to wax and wane. It's going to wax and wane. And let me tell you something, the scary part. Wait till the cooler weather comes. Well, there's the first snow in Colorado. It's going to absolutely, it's going to just skyrocket again. We need the vaccine.
Why will that happen, Dr. Nick? Why would a snow be more conducive to the spread?
Because the virus doesn't move very well in the hot weather. That's one thing that's actually helping.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't multiply in the hot weather. It doesn't move around very well in the hot weather. In the cold weather, just like the influenza virus, it explodes. So we have a problem, but the country has a problem. And I don't know what the answer is, but I will say, in the president's defense and some of these governors' defense, there's a very fine line between trying to control the virus and shutting the economy down. Right here in AME Scoop, 20 to 25% of your businesses haven't opened since March. It's a problem because they can't get employees to work. It's a huge problem.
Dr. Nick, how many employees are not working because they're scared, or they're not working because they're getting $600 from the government, from the federal government, and maybe $200 from the state?
Exactly. A lot of them aren't working because the government was paying them $847 or $3,400 a month or $41,000 a year, because Congress never figured that out yet. And it was killing the economy. Now, these 20% of businesses in AME, they can't find people to work because all the employees walked on them. So there's that fine line. But, you know, but don't expect these curves to be flattening anytime soon. It's going to wax and wane. It's going to wax and wane. And there's only so much, you know, medicine can do. There's only so much a human being can do to control this virus.
Well, Dr. Nick, I think that's really sound advice, and that is the reality. And I think what we need to do is just make sure that we, as a country, do what we can to make sure that the hospital system is not overburdened. And it seems like we're okay right now. Like, for example, in the New Orleans area, you know, we're okay. There are enough hospital beds, and that's good news. But there's some areas in the state and some areas of the country that are having problems with that. And that seems to be the biggest problem. You're going to stop people from getting it. But if we slow the spread so the system can keep up with the patients, that's the goal.
Well, I agree with you. Let me say a word on Black Lives Matter. You know, I'm just going to say it like it is. Black Lives Matter is nothing but a domestic terrorist. They don't care about all black lives. You know, let them go to Chicago on Memorial Day weekend where 122 people were shot, 95% black-on-black crime. And it's sad in these neighborhoods, but we're talking about defunding the police. We're stripping all the power the police have. It's sad in some of these inner cities.
Well, we're not. Some people. We're not going to do that. I mentioned that yesterday. We're not going to get rid of the police. We're not going to strip the police of their power. And some people want the police defunded. But when you say we, it sounds like it's going to be happening. And I don't think that's going to happen. Although a lot of people are talking about it. And then there's another group that wants you to be afraid that that's going to happen because that enhances their message.
Your silent majority needs to start talking because the problem, the country has a problem. Some of these inner cities, I pity these people. You know, we talk, and this is a 30 or 40 year old problem. It didn't happen yesterday. Okay, we need to give these kids opportunities. We need to give them an education. We need to start putting money in these inner cities where it's going to be used the right way, and not, you know, giving them welfare cards or food stamps or whatever. I pity these people, but the country's got to come together and find out how to help the inner cities.
Dr. Nick, I do agree with that, and I appreciate your call. You know, we can't really have a system that rewards negative behavior. And the idea of getting something for nothing is not a good idea. All right, if you've got a comment you want to join us, call us or text us at 504-260-1870. Here's a text that says that some cities are already starting to defund the police, so stop saying it will never happen. You know, the word defund the police is used by radical progressives to somewhat to take all the money away from the police and disband the police department. That's not going to happen. Defund is a scary, scary word. There may be some cases where cities are starting to shift resources, and maybe some resources can be shifted, but the concept of defunding the police and eliminating the police is not something that's going to become reality. And so don't buy into that fear factor. Here's a text that says, don't be hating on employees. Damn, you're not in all their shoes. Look, if I were offered a job back and I'm making more money on unemployment, because the type of person I am, I'm going to go back and get my job because I think about the future, because at some point the unemployment is going to run out. I'm Scoot. We'll be back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.